I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast hosted by number one Frasier fan, me, Anita Flores. Each new episode, we have a special guest, and today is no different. Today, we have a TV and film writer originally from Chicago who claims to love Frasier. Does she love Frasier as much as me? I guess we'll see. Please welcome Meredith Dawson to the podcast. Meredith, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I just want you to know, this is the very first time that Meredith and I are speaking where we can hear each other's voices, because I would love to just, you know, I think there have been some very interesting ways in which I have gotten people to be on this podcast. And in your particular case, Meredith, I saw an article that came out in Variety saying that this is the name of the article: Universal lands romantic comedy from Paul Feig and Meredith Dawson. I believe that's you, Meredith.
It is, yeah. Me and my dear friend Paul Feig are working together.
Congratulations. That's really exciting. So as soon as I read that, because I'm a fan of his and his work, so I figured, oh, I will probably be a fan of Meredith. So I was somehow ended up on your Instagram, because I am that person. As soon as I am interested in somebody's work, I end up on their Instagram and their Twitter. It's an illness, but I think a lot of people suffer from the same illness. And I saw a photo that caught my eye and immediately made me want to reach out to you, which is it okay if I disclose what I saw? I think you know.
Please do.
I think you know what I'm going to say. It is a photo of Meredith. She's holding Kelsey Grammer's autobiography So Far Up, and the caption is, "Writing a movie is cool, but and all, but have you ever stumbled into the clearance book section and found God?" And that's immediately when I thought, the chances that she only wanted to read this or wants it or got excited that it's Kelsey Grammer, it seemed impossible that you weren't also a Frasier fan. So that's when I messaged you, and it turns out you are a Frasier fan. So
the biggest, I would say. Or not, you're the biggest. I'm up there.
So I am curious, how did you get into Frasier? What is your history with the show?
I am a TV writer, and a couple years ago, I didn't move out to LA to be a TV writer. I sort of decided a little bit later than I wanted to do it, and I said, you know what? I should educate myself on the best TV shows. So first, we started with Cheers. Watched every episode, start to finish. I was like, this is great. This Frasier character is one of my favorites. Took a little break and went to Wings, and then I went to Frasier and immediately just fell in love. Watched every episode, beginning to end, and now it is something that I watch when I'm cleaning up, when I'm bored, when I'm happy, when I'm sad. If I have any free time, I'm not watching it. I'm telling people to watch it.
I mean, it's a wonderful companion, especially thanks to Netflix. So you sort of came into Frasier kind of later in the game. So you were already an adult when you started watching it, it sounds like.
This was maybe 4 years ago. It was on in the background in my house growing up. I never watched it because I think a lot of people have this misconception that it's too highbrow of humor. Mm-hmm. And so some jokes are very technical, but some of them are just for everybody. So I was aware of it, but never gave it a chance.
Sure. And are there any particular episodes that you really like or stick out to you?
Oh, there's two. A Valentine for Niles, but only Niles' part.
Right.
Three Valentines. And the first part for Valentine for Niles. Mm-hmm. And then the one where, I think it's season 7, when Frasier hosts the radio show. And it's everybody is doing a voice from a story, but they all don't want to do it. So he ends up just trying to voice half of them. And then Niles is three different voices.
Oh, you're referring to Ham Radio.
Ham Radio, yes.
Of course. A classic episode. Very good pick. I think that episode, along with, there's another one where there's a murder mystery party at Niles's and one of his guests actually dies. Yeah. But I do believe that those particular episodes have always made me dream of having like a legitimate murder mystery party. But I don't know. I've done the research. It's actually quite difficult. Like, it involves often buying or downloading games with extremely long instructions and then sending the sort of character descriptions to your friends and loved ones and then hoping that they're going to want to make the effort, which who wants to? But yes, that's where my love of murder mystery parties comes from.
That sounds great.
Yeah, one day. And do you have a favorite character?
I'm a Frasier fan, true and true, always. I just, the faces that man can make, I dream of them. He doesn't need to say anything. He just makes a face. Specifically at Eddie, he just will do the Frasier face, and that's what gets my blood pumping.
Oh, right, the stare down. And and actually, I think I've never seen anyone open their mouth as wide as when there's an episode where he dates a woman who looks exactly like his mother, played by Rita Wilson, and he tries to get over the fact that they look alike, and so they try and be intimate, and she like takes off her robe, and he makes this face. I don't know if you remember, but it's very horrified, and his mouth is very large, and I thought, now that's acting. That's what I think a lot of the time when of Kelsey Grammer on that show. So you mentioned when we were chatting on Instagram that you said something like, the amount of Frasier-related things I own is embarrassing. So please tell me, what kind of things do you own?
So I bought myself, there is a small cookbook called like the Cafe Nervosa cookbook that I bought for myself. Oh. And then later that year, my friend also bought it for me as a birthday gift. So I own two copies.
Oh, wow.
Earlier this year, as a birthday gift last year, as a Christmas gift, my agent sent me a apron I like to bake that says I'm listening on it, which is Frasier's tagline. I own a shirt that has one of Frasier's classic faces that says, I'm wounded. Last night, I slept in a shirt that says, I'm pro opera and I vote. There's one more thing that I'm, on my gallery wall, I have, it's all the shows I love. And so for the Frasier one, it's three inserts of a picture of eggs the Seattle skyline, and then a tossed salad.
Oh my gosh. So
imagery from the show.
Wow.
There's another piece of clothing I just bought. Anyway, it's a lot. Anything Frasier related, I'll take it.
That's amazing. And you absolutely have trumped me in terms of amount of merch. I would love to have more. I won't go into detail, but I'll just say I had two shirts, one that was gifted to me, but I had a falling out with the person who gifted me the shirt. So I bought a new shirt, and it says Frasier on it, but it's in the logo of Sega, which I truly didn't really understand. I just liked the way it looked. But now when people see me wearing it, they're like, oh, do you like Sega? And I'm like, no.
I forgot the other shirt. It says, I paused Frasier to be here. That was the other shirt.
Oh, I love it. I have a Cafe Nervosa mug. That is probably my most beloved merch, which I mean, I have like two things. But yes, I've got to catch up. I'd love to get some art. I've seen a lot of, I'm in a few Frasier fan groups online, and there are a lot of sort of like somebody painted Martin Crane's chair. And I think, you know, can I convince my boyfriend that we can have this and put it in our living room? We're not there yet. So we'll see. I'd actually love to go back to your history for a second. So I think that's super cool that you essentially did some homework in you know, to chase your dream of writing. So you watched some of the classics, and then I had read a little bit of your bio too, that you had written for the TV adaptation of Four Weddings and a Funeral. Is that correct?
I sure did.
That's awesome. So was that like your first TV writing job, or is there other stuff that you're working on, or currently just the movies your focus?
I'm one of those people who tries to do it all. The first TV writing job I had was on the NBC show Champions.
Okay.
And I worked for one of the creators, and the other creator was Mindy Kaling. So when she had Four Weddings picked up, I just jumped onto that. And then from there, I sort of wrote movies alongside. So the first feature I actually did is set up at Amazon with Reese Witherspoon's company producing. And then the Universal movie that you brought up at the beginning of this is the second feature I have in development. So I'm spinning a lot of plates over here.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to say my career parallels yours, but I will say I'd say a fellow creative, I can understand, like, I personally enjoy being busy and spinning a lot of plates. So if that's what makes you happy. Yeah. And for me, it was very exciting that I was able to turn a hobby of mine, which is watching television, into a podcast. So you watched Wings, you watched Cheers, and you watched Frasier. I grew up on all of those shows. As listeners have heard me say many times, I did not have cable growing up. So I watched a lot of TV, especially on NBC, because that channel came in the best from like, you know, mid 90s through the early 2000s. So Wings, now Wings has a, I feel like Wings has a connection to another sitcom, but I can't remember which one.
One of the creators from Cheers went off to create Wings, and I think from one of those guys went off to Frasier. I think they're all connected.
Okay. So is that why you sort of decided Cheers and Frasier make sense to me, like watching those as a pair, but then Wings, same time period. Well, I wasn't sure what the connection is, but now I do.
Yeah. I think one of the creators, or at least one of the writers on Cheers, started and did Wings. And there's also a cameo from Frasier in Wings, I believe.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Well, if Wings ever comes, is Wings streaming anywhere? That's my question.
How did I watch it? I think it was on Netflix.
Oh, well,
sure, it'll be on Peacock eventually.
Probably. So today's episode, if I haven't mentioned it already, is about the best of Eddie the dog. I really wanted to save this topic for a true craniac, so as to not frighten them with the outline that I sent Meredith last night, which involved some details about Eddie. I didn't even send you the whole thing because I thought, I want there to be some surprises. But before we get to that, I am curious, how are you feeling about this possible revival? And with that, is there any sort of guest or character that you would want to write, or would you want to write yourself in, like for a guest role?
I am a little nervous about it. It's so hard to make something that was perfect even better.
Right. Yes.
Agreed. I look forward to those writers and what they come up with. I wouldn't want to write myself into a role in it, but I want to be a writer on it. That would be the ultimate dream, or at least, you know, just someone who sits in the room while they come up with jokes. But it will be very difficult to do without Martin. And as someone who has been in rooms where you figure out stories, I'm very curious the angle they take, if it's with his son or if Lilith comes back or if he's dating again. I'm curious. I'll give it a watch, but I am hesitant.
Yeah, I definitely have some mixed feelings, as, you know, Martin very much is, to me, at least of the show that already exists, you know, kind of the soul or the conscience, to me. I would be very curious. Now, separately, you know, another character or a dog that's no longer with us is Eddie. Now, I thought about it because I didn't realize until I started doing research on the actors. Is that what you call dogs? Are actors also non-human? Dog actors?
Interesting.
I'm still not sure. But anyway, I was looking up sort of, you know, I knew about Moose, but I didn't know that much about Eddie number two, who is Enzo, who is Moose's son. Did not know that until I was sort of going through the internet last night. Now, after I learned that Enzo had been purposefully bred along with some other puppies because there was the possibility that Moose would have to be replaced. So then I started thinking, has this been going on since the show? Are they going to have, you know, Enzo's great-great-grandson? I'm not sure. So I don't know. Are they going to have a dog at all? Are they going to switch animals? Is it going to be a cat? I don't know, Meredith. Do you want to see another dog in the revival?
Tough cue. Like, cat is great, but again, how do you make it better than what it was? But cats you can't train as well as a dog. Mm-hmm. So they have to find some element that would have to be it. A small child. I don't know. If they found a different dog, that would maybe be an interesting twist.
Perhaps.
Like a different breed. I'm sorry. Different breed.
A different breed. Yes. Yes. A breed. I don't know if it should be a breed going in a completely opposite direction, like a large dog, a Beethoven, perhaps. Well, that's a Saint Bernard. That's not the name of the breed. It's Beethoven. Well, I guess we'll have to see. So I do have some, I'd call them fun facts about the dogs, but I'm curious because you too are a craniac. So I'm curious, what do you know about Moose, the first Eddie?
I know that he died at 15 and a half. I know that in order to get him to be playful and lick the characters on set, they'd have to put a little liver pate behind their ears.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's one other thing that I'm going to pull out of my brain. Come on, Meredith.
This is important.
he was originally too wild of a dog with his original owners, and so they rehomed him. And a dog trainer is the one who has sort of adopted him and then made him the star that he is. So imagine like the dog you gave up was the star on Frasier.
Wow, I'd be so mad because he led quite a life. There is a video I found online with an interview with Moose and his trainer, whose name I think I'm going to butcher, but I think it's Matilda de Cagney. She was talking about sort of, you know, his life as a star, and that sometimes they take limos to set and get all kinds of treats and stuff. And I'm sure she was making some money. So yeah, if I were on TV and I saw my former dog was like a cash cow, I'd probably be pretty mad. Okay. So other facts, in addition to all of yours, which are correct, or at least according to Wikipedia, Moose was born on Christmas Eve in 1990, which is kind of cute. There is an official Moose calendar and quote-unquote autobiography called My Life as a Dog, written by Brian Hargrove, who is the husband of David Hyde Pierce. Also news to me. I feel like if you've got so far, you might have to add this to your collection. The last 6.5 years of his retirement were spent with his son Enzo, their trainer, and the dog from As Good as It Gets. So, okay, sounds like she is a trainer to the stars, meaning 2 to 3 dogs, but still, that's a lot to me. I think my favorite moose picture, which you've probably seen, is him on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Did you ever see that?
I did. What a star.
And it says on the cover, I'm looking it up right now because I forgot. It's something like, he's hot, he's full bred, and he's on television or something like that. Something
delicious.
Extremely weird. Oh yeah, he's hot, he's sexy, he's purebred.
Ew.
According to Moose's obituary in BBC News that I found last night, and I quote, during the height of Fraser's popularity, Moose received more fan mail than any of his human counterparts.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe it. Okay, let's test your knowledge on Enzo. What do you know about Enzo, Eddie number 2?
I know that he was the dog in My Dog Skip.
Yes, correct.
And that's it.
Okay.
Educate me.
Well, it's very important. Well, he was Eddie for the last 4 seasons. Enzo was cast as Skip in the film My Dog Skip. Moose played the older Skip in several scenes. Now, this part, it sounds very sad if true. Offset trainer Matilda has stated that Moose and Enzo's relationship was so bad that the two could not stand to be in the same room together.
Classic Hollywood.
Probably. Now, one more fun fact. Enzo was one of a few puppies bred specifically as possible replacements for Moose. Another son of Moose named Moosey lived with Perry Gilpin, the actress who played Roz.
That's sweet.
News to me. And I like that they really barely changed the name and just went with Moosey. Yes. So now that we know about the dogs behind the character Eddie, now seems like a good time to talk about favorite moments. So I'm curious, what is one of your favorite moments and or episodes involving Eddie, the dog?
As I previously disclosed, one of my favorite episodes is Three Valentines. So in the Niles portion, when he's having his whole meltdown, Eddie is just sitting and staring and watching the whole thing fall apart, which is just beautiful acting. What a performance. I think there's even a part where he like puts his little paws over his head or he hides underneath something when things are not going well. Give that dog an Emmy.
Ooh, an honorary Emmy, perhaps.
Posthumous.
Yeah, I don't think there's an animal category, which for some reason surprises me. I mean, we do have a reality TV category, which I think is, reality TV is very different from scripted. So why not have some TV dogs in there? Or TV animals, excuse me. Although right now I can't think of, the only other dog I can think of is Lucky from Seventh Heaven. I'm blanking on other dogs. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of that episode / that first part. And also, I felt as if I could, not in the exact same way, but I could relate to the fact that Eddie, as a dog, or perhaps as all dogs, are patiently and desperately waiting for any food that somebody has left over. I feel like I can relate to that. I, too, am a mooch. But yeah, I love that. I like that. I'm wondering if there was more than one of these dream sequences, but there was one that came to mind that I found online, which is from the episode Freudian Sleep, where Frasier has what he considers to be like an erotic dream about Sigmund Freud. At the very end of the episode, you see Eddie's dream perspective, which is that he's jumping up and down trying to reach some sort of dessert or bread. Then he wakes up in real life and then goes to the kitchen and jumps up and down trying to get on the counter. I thought that was cute. I like when they try to get in his brain so we know what he's thinking. And what else? How are there any other? What's another moment or episode you like?
When he gets the episode where he gets a bunch of this dog in the park pregnant.
Yes.
So they have to. The whole issue of neutering him is just great fodder between Martin and Fraser.
Oh yeah.
And this isn't really specific about Eddie, but they're waiting and they take him at the end and at the last couple of seconds in the show, where they take him in and all three of Niles, Fraser, and Martin cross their legs when they take him in. Like that's one of the moments. But when he just, you know, you're just like little stud muffin Eddie. You're like, way to go.
He's such a stud muffin. And that episode is called The Unkindest Cut of All.
What a gross title. I love it.
It's such a gross title. Yeah. And I thought it was a great way to, I mean, I'm also a big fan of the episodes and even just watching Martin and Fraser's relationship and it kind of grow. Last night, in fact, this is a thing I constantly go back to a lot because I realize that looking at social media before I go to sleep is not good. And that's often what causes me to like have trouble sleeping. So I went back to what I've done in the past, which is watch old episodes of Frasier, and they do lull me to sleep. I was last night lulled to sleep by the episode where Martin and Niles and Frasier go ice fishing and are just trying to get him to say, I love you. I love that episode.
That cabin, so small.
It's so small. Yes. Also, another perk of the episode you just mentioned is all the puppies, which were very cute. Yeah. And I got – that was a great – I thought a great Roz moment in that episode is when she fakes being, like, excited about the puppies. and I thought that was great. Another well, no, this one is – this is another favorite episode of mine that's called Three Dates and a Breakup. This episode revolves around Frasier going on three different dates in his apartment, each one ruined by Sherry, Martin's girlfriend at the time, and yeah, and always ends up turning out badly. But at the end of each date, when it goes wrong, he just gives Eddie all of his food, and I appreciated that.
definitely Eddie's favorite episode. For sure, or Moose, rather.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure with all the food he was getting to eat, he was very happy. That I thought it was just like a weird kind of just extra thing. There's an episode where Frasier's out of work. So then Martin decides to get a break from him. He's going to move in with Niles. And the weird thing that Eddie does in this small time, the short time that he's living there, is pace and circle around his dining room table. I just thought that was like a weird, fun extra thing. And then, of course, if you go online, there is a supercut of Eddie staring at Frasier, which I love. I love. And my thing is, you know, the whole sort of relationship is seemingly Frasier being annoyed by him. But I'm curious what you think. On the other end of this, Eddie is the one that's constantly staring at Frasier. I think it's because he really likes Frasier. What do you think? Or do you think this was psychological torture? Okay, he does love Frasier.
He loves him. He understands that Martin's his best friend. He knows that Martin loves Frasier. So by proxy, he's always like, Frasier's my guy. But, you know, he's got to give him a little razzle tazzle. That's not a thing. He has to yank his chain a little bit, you know, keep him on his toes.
That's right. Exactly. Yes, I would want that from my dog, too. And I also these aren't really scenes, but there were a few Eddie outfits that I liked, including the little yellow raincoat.
Adorable,
so cute. And in general, if I see any kind of dog in a raincoat, the only dog breed that tends to frighten me a bit in a way that isn't like it almost like I'm worried for them is a greyhound. I don't know if you have certain breeds that you're like, I don't want to get into a controversial topic here talking about dogs we don't like, but that's the only time I've seen a dog in a raincoat and I didn't think it was cute. I saw a greyhound. It really freaked me out.
Just like, was it Niles's dog?
Oh, can my gosh. Up, right. Up?
Okay.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Maris, basically. Oh, my God. That dog was an analogy for Maris. That's right. Yeah. I think that's probably why I just thought of a greyhound. Okay. Before we move on to Kelsey Grammer Moose controversy, are there any other moments, episodes that you really liked that we have not mentioned?
Any Christmas episode where Martin dresses Eddie up in this little Santa outfit, I die. It's so cute.
It is very cute.
It doesn't seem like it's a thing they trained him to do, but whenever he just sits there with his tongue hanging out, so sweet.
Well, that thing that I was wondering about, because when I was watching this video that was behind the scenes with his trainer, Moose was also in it, and he was like lying on her lap, and his little tongue was out. So I'm wondering
how he is.
Yeah, because I don't know how you would train a dog to just lay there with its tongue out. I guess you'd have to have a lot of treats, most likely. Well, yes, obviously Eddie's had some great moments, but let's get to a topic that I am extremely passionate about, which is what is this this beef between Kelsey Grammer and Moose? Now, I will say I think I personally feel more like there's evidence that Kelsey Grammer was, all of this was fueled by his jealousy of Moose. I went to see, and I apologize, listeners, you've already heard this, but Meredith, if you haven't, Kelsey Grammer this year, they brought back Inside the Actor's Studio for like, a few, I don't know, 5 or 6 episodes. I think the episodes may have started coming out on the Sundance Channel, but they film Inside the Actor's Studio at Pace University, and my friend is an alum of Pace. So she reached out to me however long ago and said, Kelsey Grammer, because they were doing rotating hosts, and Kelsey Grammer was going to be one of the hosts, and he was going to be interviewing James Burrows, who I'm sure you're quite familiar with.
Yes.
And so I went to the taping, and seemingly unprompted, he brought up the dog. And he said, I mean, obviously I don't have it on tape, and I'd be curious to see if it made the final cut. He claimed, and I quote, Moose is a terrorist. He either said Moose is a terrorist, or Moose was a terrorist. He also said in an interview that he claimed that Moose would bite John Mahoney every time he sat on his lap, and that Mahoney hated him. Before I get into all of this, I feel like I've already given you a lot of information. Did you know anything about this before I brought it up, this beef?
No, I don't know about the Moose beef. I knew a little tension between Kelsey and Moose, but you never know the reality of things. But I think when you hear something like that, where there's been so much time that's passed, that it's probably true, because it's like, I can say it now.
Right. Well, what I wanted to do is, because I wanted to present the claims here and then answer the final question, which is, who's telling the truth? So allow me to regale you with the evidence that I have. Okay, so that's one of Kelsey's claims. He's also claimed that Moose is a terrorist. Now, in the video that I watched yesterday with Matilda, his trainer, she described Moose as a bit mischievous. He likes to chase squirrels, eat trash. Fine. She also said, as soon as the cameras are off, Kelsey is the first one on his hands and knees, being even more dog than the dog itself. So
Ooh.
That's an interesting tidbit.
Ooh.
Then I found an interview with John Mahoney from Fox News. Okay, I'm already a little bit on the fence about the validity, but regardless, I found one particular excerpt. Fox News said to John Mahoney, Kelsey Grammer previously told us that you and Moose, the dog, didn't get along. Mahoney said, that was a problem at times. Haha, I love dogs, but Moose, he tolerated everybody else. And then he specifies 2 specific times that he bit Mahoney. And the circumstances were this. He bit me twice, but I didn't blame him. One time we were getting out of the car and I closed the door on his tail, and he went and got me a good one. Then another time in a scene, I was supposed to pick him up and see if the boys had a job done on him at the vet. When I did it from the back. He wasn't expecting it. So as I picked up the dog, he turned around and bit me. He was a temperamental actor, as far as I'm concerned. Okay.
Interesting.
We have some evidence that definitely Moose bit Mahoney. Does that mean he hated him? I'm not sure. But now I come back to the jealousy part. So Kelsey Grammer in the Washington Post, and I quote, once said, I love dogs. I don't have any particular feelings about that dog because I just work with him. It takes twice as long to finish a show when the dog's in it. It's a dog. It's not a hardship, you know. It just takes longer. He doesn't always get it the first time, and we have to stop and go back. And then went on to say, it's just so silly. He gets so much attention. I do draw the line when somebody says, oh, he's such a good little actor. That's it. He's not an actor. He's a dog. So.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. I say all of this. And then accompanied by the fact that through the entire show, Moose received more fan mail than, say, oh, I don't know, Kelsey Grammer. I think his jealousy has perhaps fueled him to make some dramatic claims about Moose that aren't completely true. And that's my opinion.
I would agree. But also, if you think about it, if you have a TV show running, let's say, for 7 years, and you have an actor do something do two bad things only twice in 7 years on a 22-episode season, that's pretty good. So I would say I'm kind of on Moose's side. If you bite someone and you do the wrong thing,
I agree.
Two bites is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with you. Slightly off topic, just because I am curious, especially because you are a TV writer. Obviously we both have thoughts on the revival, but I'm just curious. And obviously, since you're saying it on the pod, it's proof that it's your idea. Do you have any thoughts on, because, you know, the last I read, Kelsey Grammer said, you know, the revival most likely will not take place in Seattle. So I'm curious, for a potential revival, do you have any thoughts on like where it might take place? And, you know, if any, who else would be involved? Should Freddie be heavily involved?
I think if I were to guess, it would probably be New York or Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Because from a purely actor-based thought process, he probably wants to be close to home and near a major city to do work. So even though you're on like a soundstage, it feels like those are the two of the big cities he could go to that are different from Boston and Seattle. Freddie would make sense because the heart of the show is about a relationship between a father and a son. So Freddie and Frasier make the most sense, but I can see them going in a world where they maybe don't do his family and he joins another work. It's more of like a workplace show. Like if you have an office full of psychiatrists or something, or he works in like a medical office, something like that I could also see happening.
Yeah. Do you think that perhaps he could graduate from radio to another medium?
He could probably go back to private practice. I think the character expressed missing that. He likes the celebrity of it, but I think he missed part of private practice. Maybe being a professor of psychology, psychiatry.
Sure.
What options? He's a smart man with that Harvard degree.
I actually how could we forget he went to Harvard? I like the idea of him going back into private practice, because in my head I would think if the show comes back and he's in private practice, perhaps, I'm just throwing it in here as a possibility, is when he, you know, maybe gets approached to have his own like Dr. Phil type show. And that's what sort of sucks him back in. I could see that as a maybe.
Now that I've pitched it, I would love for him to be a professor, because you get to see him as to teach a class, have the interaction with all the students, and he still has the element of being a celebrity as the head of a class.
Sure.
And that God complex of, should I pass you or fail you? So, you know what? I'm going to write that version.
All right. You write that version. Now, at the end of the series, he ends up going to Chicago to take a chance with Charlotte. Now, I would think, you know, a lot of the comedy of that show comes from his dating life. So it's hard for me to imagine that he is like still with her or in like a committed relationship. I also just love when the show would kind of put him together with another sort of like strong force. Like I really liked when he was with Kate, the station manager. So I'm curious, are there any actresses that you think as Frasier that he could potentially have chemistry with as a potential love interest in a future revival?
I would love to see him with Allison Janney, but also, because it's 2019, I would love to see him with some women of color.
Ooh, so if yeah.
you had like, you know, like Viola Davis,
that's
a sexy, weird combination.
Oh,
Ava
wow.
Oreo would be really good. There's a long list of women that I like to see, him just like a fiery woman who doesn't take shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, another version of Kate, essentially.
Sure. Yeah. I think I think one thing that could really come out of the revival is something very important that you bring up, which is something I've definitely spoken about on the show, which is given the fact that, you know, this was the early 90s through 2000. Something, you know, assuming it's a very white writer's room, it's a very white show. So I think it would be really cool to see all of that change with the revival. I'd be curious to see what they do with the writer's room and if it's going to be, you know, all the same people. Like, you know, I interviewed on this podcast executive producer Joe Keenan, who I absolutely love and has written basically all of my favorite episodes of Frasier. And I mean, I would love to see some of the original people involved, but I think to your point, especially if you want to get some new exciting characters in that, you know, are like not white, I think it would definitely help to have like a diverse writer's room, especially because I think it would be great to see them not have a repeat of one of my, I think, most cringeworthy episodes, which is There's Something About Dr. Mary. Do you remember?
Yeah.
That was rough. That was rough. I've compared that episode to obviously it's not the same premise, but this thing of Frasier feeling guilty, being like, I can't tell this person I don't like them because either they're black, or there's the episode with Bob, the guy in the wheelchair. Who,
yep.
So it's this similar like guilt thing. So I would definitely love to see, I think Viola Davis would be great. I was just remembering that she was in Widows. I don't know why that's the last movie I just thought of with her in it. But yeah, she's fantastic.
There's also an episode where Martin's old cop buddy is in the hospital.
Yes.
And they haven't spoken in years. Is that what you're referring to?
Oh, no. Yeah. I was
I
was referring to an episode where Frasier is trying to make new friends. So he starts like a contest on his show, has people call in, and then he's like, he like starts talking to this guy who thinks he has stuff in common with named Bob. Turns out he doesn't really like Bob because he likes barbecue and he just in general doesn't like him. But then finds out that he's in a wheelchair. So then he feels like he can't be like, Bob, I don't want to hang out with you because you're in a wheelchair. So that's similar. I feel like Frasier has a lot of guilt. They definitely about many things. But yeah, I would be curious to see what happens in the next iteration. Oh, also, I'm curious if there's any actress that you could picture having played in the past, Maris, who comes to mind?
That would she would play present day, or she would have played back then?
I think played back in the past.
Ooh, that's tough. Who's that thin?
Well, I have said several
Kate
times.
Moss?
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. I was thinking Lara Flynn Boyle.
That's, Yep.
I thought she would be very, very good. I would be very curious to see. Oh, you know who I brought up just in my own life recently was I really like Kathleen Turner, and I feel like I would love to see her be some sort of I don't know if – I think it would be really exciting to see Frasier with an age-appropriate woman. I'm curious to see the likelihood of that. But if it's not possible, I would at least like to see her be – she also has – to me, I love her voice. I think she would be a great nemesis in terms of like in a similar field and like they're competing against each other.
Love a good female Frasier nemesis.
Yes, exactly. Okay, back to the stuff that you own that's Frasier merch. Do you feel that you're missing anything, or there's something else you want to add to your collection?
There are a million things I'm missing. I have had a KACL coffee mug in one of my – I think it's on Etsy forever. And then when I – there, like my dream gift to myself is – are you familiar with the caricaturist Hirschfeld? I have to look up his first name.
No, but I'm going to look him up right now.
So he is a famous caricaturist, and he would do all these portraits of cast members from famous TV shows. And there's one of Seinfeld. I think it's like $1 million.
Whoa.
And my goal is to someday buy that for myself.
Is his name Al Hirschfeld?
Yes.
And is there one with Frasier?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm looking it up.
The artist is no longer living. So if I were to buy this on Amazon right now, there's a signed copy for $1,500. So that is something I would love to get myself one day.
Oh, that is so cool. I'm looking at it right now. Fantastic. Have you ever gone so far in terms of your love of Frasier? Have you ever done a Frasier Halloween costume in your life?
I have not. This isn't close at all, but I've always wanted to get a tattoo of Frasier Crane's face on my forearm. But the downside to that is that everyone will assume it's Kelsey Grammer, and I don't want that.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's really funny. I actually, one year, I convinced an old roommate of mine to go in a kind of a friends couples costume. She went, although, I mean, I love her, but I do think that she did not try her hardest. She went with Martin Crane. I went with Niles. So she went like in flannel and like black jeans. I was like, all right, you know, I don't know if anyone can tell that you're, but I have a photo somewhere. I went as Niles during the episode where his cockatoo gets stuck on his head.
Oh, great.
So I got like a plush cockatoo and like, you know, wore clothes that made me look like a caterer. And and people guessed my costume. And I really think it was because of the cockatoo.
That's incredible. I get frustrated if you don't know what my costume is immediately. I don't want to explain it to you, which is why I've never done Frasier.
Interesting. Okay. Have you done any TV characters for a costume?
I was Cookie Lyons 4 years ago, I think.
Oh,
let's see. That was good. Yeah.
From Empire.
I had a very long ponytail, fake hair extension. I wore a lot of cheetah print and I had a lot of attitude.
Last year, I wasn't Cookie, but the year before I decided to try, whenever I try and do like a mixed genre costume, unfortunately it's people usually get lost. I was Carrie Bradshaw, the vampire slayer. So essentially, cool. It was an excuse to get a fake fur coat from ASOS and then had a fake cigarette in my mouth and a fake keyboard. And then I was holding a steak. And that was really the only thing that made me a slayer. But you know, still, I had fun.
Also, side note, I love ASOS. So shout out to you.
I still wear the coat. I think for me, if you're, in my opinion, if you're going to do a TV character, what I've learned is just having one important detail. So this year, I really wanted to go. I don't think I had ever done a couple's costume, but I am a big fan of Law and Order SVU. I'm sure you know at least several women / older women that love Law and Order SVU, because I do think it does span age shockingly. I mean, you can't imagine when I go to the laundromat, it's like me and an elderly woman glued to the television watching Law and Order SVU. But anyway.
Never met a woman who didn't like it.
Exactly. I couldn't think of anyone. So he was supposed to go as Munch, as Detective Munch, played by Richard Belzer. I decided with just detail of hair, like I was gonna, you tell me if you could guess what my costume was. I slicked my hair back. I drew on a fake goatee and a mole and put on a fake earring and wore a badge around my neck. Who do you think I was?
Ice tea.
Yes, I was. Yes, okay, good. I was. Woo. Now, he got sick, so he couldn't come out with me. So I was just walking around Detective Tutuola. It was all right. It was all right. I think in the future, I might want to try another Frasier costume. Part of me wants to try and be Lilith, or not Lilith. Part of me wants to try and be Maris, but I don't know how it would work because we don't know what she looks like. So I feel like there's like a joke there that I want to try and tap into. I'm just not sure what it is. If you could do it, my final question as we wrap up, if you could do a costume from Frasier, who would you want to go as?
I would get it professionally done and I would be the chair.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. That's a great idea. Oh, that's a fantastic idea. If I ever steal it, I'll ask you first and then tell.
No, take it. It's yours. And then, we're all in the same community here.
And then tell everyone that it was your idea.
There it is.
Well, thank you so much, Meredith, for being here. I feel very confident in saying that you are just as much of a Craniac as I am, and I'm always happy to meet a fellow Frasier fanatic.
That is the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me, to be anywhere near the level of fandom that you are. I'm honored and hashtag blessed. Thank you for having me, and God bless social media, am I right?
Oh, God bless social media. And on that note, good night, Seattle.
Good night. I'm listening.